intent of killing him or he's having intended to kill him. So that's why you would be surprised to see guilty of the situation. The budget of the National Youth Development Agency is also allocated to the 2008, the strategic plan 2015-2020, and the annual plan that requires to take into account these changes and adjustments. We believe that the Department of Planning, Monitoring and Evaluation has a very critical role to play in giving direction on the implementation as well as monitoring of the national. We have a budget of approximately 17 million rand for the financial year 2015-2016. The approved organizational structure has 290 posts, of which 245 have been filled as of the 31st of March this year. Our mandate is contained in Section 85(2)(b)(c) of the Constitution of the Republic, which states that the President assigns executive authority together with the other members of cabinet by developing and implementing national policy, coordinating the functions of state departments and administration. This is also can give you concrete expression through the policy framework on performance monitoring and evaluation, our approach document, which I'm sure the previous committee had was seized with, together with the Vice Green Paper, National Training Commission, which my previous colleague, Trevor Manuel, said also to the fund. Our mandate is to facilitate the development of long-term and medium-term plans and agreements for the cross-priorities and outcomes of government and to monitor the implementation of all these plans. We have to assess the particular strategic plans and annual performance plans and show that they align with long-term and short-term plans, both in the National Development Plan and the medium-term strategic plan of the NDC. We also have to monitor, as part of our mandate, the performance of individual national and provincial government departments and municipalities. We also monitor frontline service delivery, we carry out evaluations of key government programs, and we promote good monitoring and evaluation processes. Our focus is to strengthen the linkages between planning and monitoring and evaluation functions, to enhance strategic focus on these priorities, and then perform a focus on outcomes of government program and impact on South African citizens. And to enhance the implementation of the National Development Plan, our support MND practices as a means to improve the performance of government. We also provide focused attention to the aspects of planning which have been previously neglected in government, such as real-time planning and planning of implementation of programs. We ensure synergy and use of resources for the effectiveness of planning issues. Ensure effective and efficient operations in collaboration with the respective departments and improve our responsiveness to the needs of the public and enhance the ability of government to deliver its electoral mandate. In terms of budget programs, we have five budget programs federal and efficient and every department that complies with legislation policy and good government principles, which is contained in Program 1 and administration. And program 2 on outcomes and monitoring of advanced assessment of different agenda governments through monitoring, reporting, and commending corrective measures on the implementation of the NDP and the NCSF targets and evaluating key government programs. Program 3 is to strengthen institutional performance through better monitoring, evaluation, and support. And program 4, national planning, to facilitate integrated short, medium, and long-term planning and policy coherence in the context of the implementation of the NDP and other Program 5 on youth development, promote youth development and empowerment. On the fiscal administration, we provide strategic support, management, and administration both to state and capitalism, right? Exercise of oversight responsibility regarding financial performance reporting and compliance and related internal control. To implement effective human resources management practices to ensure that adequate and appropriately skilled human resources are used. Promote good corporate governance practices and provide ICT enabling department to deliver on this core mandate. On program two, the focus is to coordinate and manage the outcome system by monitoring and reporting progress on the implementation of government priorities that are aimed at achieving the end priorities and also to evaluate the impact. The government is also to ensure integrated and coordinated approach to planning, implementation, performance monitoring and evaluation in order to achieve the 14 outcomes that cabinet has adopted but are contained in the mid-term strategy framework. We also assist the president to put in place and monitor performance agreements with ministers. He has already signed performance agreements with each and every member of cabinet and will ensure that they are implemented and monitored. We also have a forecast of ensuring that the president's advice and supported on strategic measures, including cabinet memorandum and other key initiatives such as operation parking services. We also support the cabinet's policies on government transfers and cabinet committees that identify and address blockages in achieving governmental outcomes by applying appropriate approaches. Policy that will meet the agenda 2030. Annual plans and program key indicators and targets in program 2. We have to continuously revise the NTS Act 2014-2019 wherever it is necessary. We assist the President with the review of performance agreements between himself and ministers. We also review departmental plans to realize alignment between the NDP 2030 and the NTSF, as well as the budgeting process. And I must emphasize this point that we have already changed our policies in order to force government departments to be aligned with the NDP and NTSF, so that there are no budget proposals that go to the Minister's Committee on the budget unless the Department of Plan Performance Monitoring is satisfied that those budget proposals reflect the objectives of the NDP. We also monitor and facilitate the implementation of the 14 outcomes, produce reports to Cabinet, which was done recently, and very shortly, we may want to invite us so that we can share with you the program of action that arises from the 14 accounts that were produced. And also, too, we report published on progress. The program of action will be placed on the website of the department. And also, undertake mid-term and end September government points on the implementation of government priorities. Annual monitoring as well, publish annual development indicators. One is due shortly, that we're going to be sharing with Cabinet. Support Cabinet Office and other departments to implement social economic impact assessment systems years. This is also another very good initiative that we are jointly doing with National Treasury, so that we don't just change in Cabinet memorandums and programs. We need to ensure that social economic impact assessment is done in order to align them with the priorities of the government. We also produce briefing notes for countries, also advise them on fiscal programs, public memoranda. For example, we chair the several committees on assessed money pounds, and all the key things there. Look at the mining towns, but also the labor-friendly areas. We also assist in the solar and monitoring programs and other critical issues that require expertise. On the evaluation and research, we produce and implement mission evaluation plans focusing on key government programs and submit to government annually. Supporting provinces to produce their own annual evaluation plans for their key project programs, such as in the last meeting of the president, with the premiers and local government, where we were assessing their state of the province, addressing whether they are aligned with the NDP and the strategy. We conduct a few state evaluations, the annual of producer provision reports and equipment plans for those evaluations that must be in line with the evaluation. If the committee suggests more resources to the department, obviously increase the number of evaluations. We conduct useful research assignments and critical programs of government approved implementation. On the present, all of what I have alluded to, we monitor resolution of complaints that have been brought through the hotline and submit performance reports to the GAA cluster and Central Coordination Council, which we have done recently, and produces these four case studies, including impact stories on the performance. importance of the translation of life, and from that comes a discussion topics on the impact of the translation of life and issues. The point that we made up, we refuse to share this with this one citizen based in one time, produce strategy by the end of financial year, implement this CBM in 10 new facilities annually, and convene at least two citizen-based monetary lending banks. Okay. So these are the guys to go and see how people feel about the facilities and the investments. Planning monetary innovation capacity development, revised planning and capacity and strategy, and coordination of provincial M&E learning networks, jointly coordinating international M&E learning networks. There's one that we recently did here in Cape Town about 2 months or so ago, which went extremely well with guests, especially from our brother. Program 4, the Commission brings such projects by the end of this financial year on demographics, social protecting, and on education, aiming to support national strata planning. On the Commission, the National Income Dynamic Families, way for results by the end of the financial year. Also, the National Special Development Framework wants this to be adopted by the end of March. This is very important so that there is a uniformity in terms of the special framework that is done in the facilities. On government performance information, one to revise and implement the framework of learning in government by 2019, conduct annual assessments of departmental protection and performance plans to ensure the alignment with the planning from the point of emphasize. On youth, develop and monitor the issue of youth policy and submit to cabinet for approval before the end of this year. And develop a stakeholder compact between the accounting officer and the National Youth Development Agency and produce quarterly reports on the implementation of the compact of the United States. On organization structure and human resources, there is the organogram, the DG at the helm. All the conditions, outcome monitoring, institutional performance, learning, secretary of the NPC, information officer, financial officer, and human resource. The department, as you know, was established in October 2014 as the result of the National Micro Reorganization of the State, where in the National Planning Commission Secretariat, the president has not been made. The rationale being the creation of this department is to locate responsibility for the entire value chain of planning, monitoring, and evaluation in one institution in the facilities. Therefore, that structure was designed to cater to this measure as well as the requirements. The need of public service organization compared with an interim structure where the number of public posts for the organization was 90, up from 2066 in 2014. There is the fact that the breakdown of the organization including new desks, accounts, monetary evaluation, strong performance monetary evaluation, values of the areas, with a total of 290 with 25 post feet as of the 31st of March. I've made a letter submission to the Minister of Public Service and Administration when we expand the structure of approximately 1,050 posts, and the request was made for additional funding. National Treasury for instruction, but assets have not yet been approved for this activity. But we will not hire, we are going to go there until we get this process. As we all think, much at the
anti-Swiss criterions and the National Climate Commission of our 24 sub-commission will not be able to deal with huge area of responsibility of land without an appropriate agreement with men and skills to assist us. Also that in our view it is not adequate to deal with the huge responsibility task that is in front of us. The shadow form arises in terms of budget. In addition to our original mandate, we have a number of key programs through the prioritization within our administrative base of evaluation of key government programs, implementation of an annual national evaluation plan, the management performance assessment of national and provincial departments, the NPEX, the local examination improvement model, the citizen based income, as well as evaluation PATISA and CS program. Another funding also feature in our budget for the UK defence has given us 27 million pounds during the financial year 2018-14 and 2014-15 years. A portion of this funding was rolled over to the 2015-2016 financial year to complete the foundations, frontline service delivery, and citizen-based monitoring projects that are already in progress. From Canada, effect, 18 million under a 5-year period, 2013-2017-18, funding in coming financial years can be allocated for supporting NPEX, for example, is quality hub. Challenges. We have been requested as part of that tightly exercise so that we reduce the expenditure. Additional treasury, but also cabinet decision to reduce budget by approximately 50 million pounds per annum over the year due to many competing demands. The approach adopted in setting the strategic agenda for the next 5 years has been identified as a progress of implementation and in line expansion to achieve more in these days. So the haircuts. Measures adopted have included interventions to scale down implementation of some programs, identifying programs that can be implemented through donor funding, not being left critical posts, to assign additional responsibility to existing staff or existing units. In conclusion, you can say that major funds by this democratic government. Strengthening priority setting, planning, implementation, monitoring, evaluation, and putting systems across government, for which I want to thank my predecessors, the late Minister Chaban, who laid the basis in terms of developing the foundational architecture of monitoring and evaluation system. My previous cabinet colleague, Chairman Mandel, we started a program for developing national development plan. Enhanced focus has also been placed on improving quality of frontline services and empowering communities to monitor these services. the wise acceptance of the nation's development plan by South Africans, its translation into the mid-term strategic framework 2014-2019, as assessed by the implementation program of the national development plan, and the signing of performance agreements between ministers and the president have been major priorities. Over the five-year period 2016-2020, the Department of Planning, Monitoring and Evaluation will continuously raise the bar of government accountability by sharpening planning, monitoring and evaluation processes, systems, frameworks, and tools.
Let's take NYDA, and then we will then afford the opportunity to ask questions. Are you ready? Because of the blockchain. It's a new excuse. Because of blockchain, the document could not be electronically transmitted to members. So we apologize for that. But I think the minister did a very good presentation. We're all able to support. But NYDA, we almost.
Thank you very much. Perhaps by way of introduction, before we begin the presentation that we have submitted, as indicated on the time, let me firstly greet the Honourable Minister for Performance Monitoring and Evaluation, Honourable Chairperson and Honourable Members of the Patrolo Committee on Public Service and Administration. A very good afternoon to you all. My name is Nation.
Yes,
Thank you, Chairperson. Chair, my name is Yoshin Pillay, Executive Chairperson of the NYEDA. Allow me to introduce on my left the delegation from the NYEDA, the Chief Executive Officer, Mr. Katuna Mokumba, the Chief Financial Officer, Mr. Wasim Karim, and the Head of Strategy, Mr. Jabulani Balala. Chair, before we go to the report on annual promise plan is through Mr. and the Department, perhaps just to indicate that exactly what the presentation will focus on. Chair, the President of the Republic referred to three NIDA programs in the recent State of the Nation address. That being the Solomon Mashlangi Scholarship for Poor and Rural Youth, the 2.7 billion rand partnership between the NYEDA, CIPA and the IDC, loan program for medium and large owned enterprises, and the NYEDA Business Grant Program for micro and small enterprises. Three new programs shared once under the new administration. Honourable Minister also mentioned that Deputy Minister for Performance Monitoring and Evaluation has subsequently led a quality review for the culminated in the National Youth Policy Conference and the adoption of a new National Youth Policy by young people. Our role here in this process was to support and to ensure that we use the policy to develop an integrated youth development strategy as per the NYEDA Act for the implementation of the policy. This will be our task, Chairperson, as the NYEDA. Chair, the presentation by the CEO of the NYEDA, Mr. Katuna Mokumba, will reflect on how we plan to scale up the products, services, and programs mentioned by the President and Mr. Kadebe in the annual performance plan for 2015 to 2016 and beyond, and how we plan to respond to the new national youth policy as developed by the Ministry. Importantly, Chair, will show that how we plan to reduce operational expenditure and spend more money on young people so that they receive the products and services as per our mandate. Chairperson, allow me to then hand over to Mr. Ramakumar to go through the presentation.
Thank you, Chairperson, Honorable Minister, and Honorable Members of the Committee. We have structured the presentation to reflect on some of the key issues that we thought are important to share with the members of the portfolio committee over and above the annual performance plan and the five-year strategic plan and the budget indications in the communication. We thought that it is important for us to provide feedback to this committee on commitments that we have made to this Commons of the State Democratic Government in relation to measures that have been made by the Auditor General in the last financial year for this report. So the first section will speak to that, and then the second section will speak to the performance plan for this financial year, so there's the 5 year period, and then we'll present the budget. We also will be presenting the qualification report, which we thought we should take this committee into confidence, as well as the skills audit report, which we have conducted as part of the implementation of the general strategy, which was presented and adopted by this committee. Everyone will provide progress today in relation to the organizational development and culture change processes that we are currently underway in terms of how far we have come and the decisions we have taken, which we want to take this committee into confidence on. I will allow the CFO to deal with the measures relating to what matters. I will then deal with the performance information, and then we will deal with the budget, and then I will deal with the last three items on qualification report, special support of the national development. Please,
thank you, CEO and Chairman of the NYEDA, Honorable Minister, Honorable Chairman, Honorable Members. We thought it prudent to start with audit matters, seeing as Audit General would have presented the audit outcome for 2013-14 yesterday to the Portfolio Committee, and to give the committee feedback in terms of what were the audit outcomes of the NYEDA for the previous financial year, and what we'd like to improve on those matters moving into the 2015 financial year, which will be audited over the next few months by the AG. If we look at first slide, the NYEDA has an unqualified audit opinion with one emphasis of matter and finding on supply chain management and compliance with laws and regulations. If you look at the emphasis of matter paragraph, that is the EG drawing users' attention to specific matters which they think is important for users of financial statements. You can see the trajectory from 2010-2011, through 2013-14, whereas we started with 6 emphases of matters, we've managed to reduce it now to 1 emphasis of matters in our audit report. The AG is drawing attention to the fact that we have a serial impairment on our loan book, and that we have an asset, but it is doubtful in terms of collection. Can we get on to the next slide? I'd like to touch on this loan book, seeing that it has been a legacy issue for the NYJ. So if you look at the findings from the Auditor General, we have two major findings. One being the fact that we have not taken effective and appropriate steps to collect all revenues due to the organization from our loan book. The second one, as I mentioned, is the emphasis of matter, that we have a loan book that's worth 230 million, but of this 225 million is doubtful for collection. On the table there, we've given you a breakdown of what the loan book looks like. So, in total, the former Umfumufu Youth Fund and the National Youth Development Agency would advance loans of about 385 million rand. After that, we've received capital repayments of 229 million rand. So, Jefferson, just to draw your attention, it's not as if nothing has been collected from the loan book. If you look, what has been collected is about 60% of the original capital disbursed. Now, in a developmental institution, if you look at large financial institutions like banks, they aim for 85-90% collection of repayment. But in a development institution like NYDA, 60% collection is fairly strong. What you're now looking at is the remainder of the 40% having gone doubtful in terms of unsuccessful business. Seeing as this is a legacy issue, we have put together a 4-point plan with NYDA once to close the chapter on the own. We move to the next slide. What you cannot do is take the entire loan book and say we're going to write off this entire loan book. Or you can't take the loan book and say we're now going to pursue and attack everybody's assets on this loan book. Being a development institution that we are, we've now put together this plan that says let's go to the micro level assessment of each loan and try and determine a way forward on each of them. To this end, our phase one is to ascertain the status of each borrower on our loan book, in terms of their employment status, their asset status, the surety term holder, and the business status. We aim to complete that by 31 May of this year. Once you determine the status of each of these loans, we can determine those that are deliberately avoiding payment. And our plan is to hand over these for legal opinion. In this legal opinion, we'll also determine prescription on debt potentially, and we attempt to enter into settlement offers and renegotiation of terms and potentially reduction of interest. We want to complete this by 30th June 2014. Phase 1 and phase 2 will run parallel to one another. Thirdly, dear Chairperson, prior to us going and attaching assets or closing down businesses, we must remember that NYDA is in the area of job creation and not job disposal. Therefore, we want to look at each loan holder and say, in the business here, is this person potentially deliberately avoiding paying the NYDA back its loan? Are they in position of poor holiday homes, of which we can attach one and become a portion of our loan? Or is this a business that can genuinely not pay back its loan, but it is running successfully or partially successfully, and they can enter into a negotiation agreement with the NYDA? And once we have this completed by the 31st of July, we then want to make a determination on each of our loans to say what is our final resolution in terms of write-off, settlement, or attachment of assets. And we want to complete this process by the latest 31 March 2016. We believe with this 4-point plan that we'll be able to close the legacy chapter on our loan book and move proactively into our very successful grant funding program. That is the loan book. If we then look at the findings from Auditor General on supply chain management, supply chain management is also a legacy issue of the NYDA. When it shifted from being a 3D institution of the UIF to a 3A institution of the NYDA, our procurement principles had to adapt fundamentally, and the entity struggled in its initial years to adapt to this new procurement system. The original expenditure ranged from 67 million to 133 million to 15 million in the 2013-14 financial year. In 2014-15, we now reduced the original expenditure to 569,000. That is a 97% reduction in the expenditure. The findings from Auditor General in the prior financial year was that the accounting authority did not take effective steps to collect all revenue with you. If you look, 16 million represented about 45% of our annual treasury allocation. If we now take our regular expenditure, it amounts to about 0.2% of our total grant for the national treasury. So it is no longer a material finding in our audit report. Also, in the previous financial year, we had one transaction about 500,000 that was not procured according to treasury regulation. Our area there, we were procuring mobile laboratories for schools. The deadline was fairly tight in terms of advertising that, and we only advertised for a period of 14 days, which was 21 days, and the EG said by the delivery to the furniture. We also advertised that, but only in major newspapers and not in the government tender bulletin, and that also resulted in findings in the EG. The EG also raised findings that we were not always taking the 80-20 principle when we were issuing simplification. That was not raised as a regular expenditure, but it was a non-compliant line of the AG. Also, Chairperson, we did take effective steps against those officials who committed irregular expenditure. However, we did not take on fruitless and wasteful expenditure. We did have one issue with a penalty from a supplier where we were attempting to negotiate a reversal. We did successfully negotiate that reversal in the 2015-16 financial year. We're therefore confident that all of those auditorial findings will no longer be applicable in the complaint. Just to talk to some of the corrective actions that we've taken on supply chain management, even though we have reduced fundamentally by 97%, we're still not satisfied that we incurred irregular expenditure. To this end, we've now taken action against those officials who committed irregular expenditure. One of those staff members who was responsible for about 80% of that irregular expenditure subsequently resigned from the organization, and we attempted to withhold a settlement offer from the employee. However, we were advised from a legal perspective that that was not legally valid. We should pursue other methods to try and recover the funds. Also, another official who incurred irregular expenditure was suspended from the organization and is currently still under suspension. We also have a supply chain management turnaround strategy that is continuously monitored by the CEO's office. We've updated our supply chain management policies. We provided training to all our staff members. Work committees are trained on regulations on an ongoing basis. Our target for reviewing and fruitless and wasteful expenditure of 15-16 is zero. All executive managers have performance contracts with the CEO. They have a provision for incurrence of irregular and fruitless and wasteful expenditure. And all performance managers, all executive managers, lose portion of their performance bonus should they incur any such expenditure. We've also updated on our charters, policies, and procedures, and these have been adopted by the accounting authority. We also have findings in the previous financial year on performance information. We do not have effective, efficient, and transparent systems for internal controls to monitor our performance information. And our procedure for reporting to our executive authority were not fully established. To that end, we have put in place a monitoring and evaluation framework, which is being improved and implemented with all stakeholders involved in the process. We are also looking at other sectors of government to implement best practices on our performance information. All executive managers contact the clauses in respect to ensuring set deadlines are met and warning letters and financial penalties that goes on executive managers from this deadline. We are treating performance management as not only an annual process, but as an ongoing process within the entity. It's monitored on a daily, monthly basis by the office of the CEO. We've also standardized our verification process. We've developed coordination in terms of our branch and our head office reporting, and we're also using the power of IT to unlock potential of enhancing our reporting habits. If we look at, we had two findings relating to material misstatements in our financial statements and our performance information. To that end, the CFO's performance contract now contains performance measures which address issues of material misstatements to ensure that financial reporting is complete and accurate. In 2012-2013, we had 54 material misstatements in our financial statements. We managed to reduce that to 2 in 2013-14, and we are hopeful we'll achieve 0 in 2014. We monitor monthly and daily reconciliations as part of the CFO's performance agreement, and executive managers and performance contracts for finance reporting or monitoring and evaluation. We also have an internal audit unit which acts as our first line of defense, and we follow up on any potential errors that may exist in our financial statements or our performance report. The AG also has some findings on information technology in terms of security and user access management, change management policies, and IT continuity and disaster recovery plans. Most of our IT issues related to IT governance. To that end, the board is putting in place an IT steering committee, which is a subcommittee of the board, and which addresses these governance matters related to IT and it oversees implementation of management action plans on IT. We've also designed a gap analysis report by KPMG, and phase 2 of this report has been completed at the end of the financial year 2013. The Safe Information Technology Agency is also in the process of designing and assisting management for the implementation of an IT continuity strategy, a disaster recovery plan, and a business continuity plan. The NYD also had two investigations listed on its audit report for the 2013-14 financial year. One related to an in-house investigation when employees accused of theft and duplication of invoices. The investigation was still ongoing and criminal proceedings had been instituted. In terms of that investigation, management has instituted criminal proceedings through the Special Crimes Unit and the Special Investigating Unit. The employee was suspended as soon as the fraud was detected and resigned while the disciplinary process was ongoing. 4.8 million rand of the alleged theft has already been recovered through an asset forfeiture unit. The employee has been arrested and currently out on bail, and management is pursuing with Jiga criminal proceedings to recover immovable assets to recover the full extent of the fraud. Also, Chairperson, the 2011 World Festival is still under investigation by the public protector. As far as we are aware, we have supplied all relevant information to the public protector, and we are waiting the outcome of the investigation. Chairperson, that brings us to the end of the audit matters relating to the audit agenda. I'll hand back to the Chief Executive Officer who will take you through the NYDA's performance and annual plan.
Thank you, Shifo, and thank you again, Chairperson. In relation to the performance information, I would just highlight that we seek to achieve our vision, which is to be a credible and capable development agency in all that we do. And where our planning process was informed by the registered environment, which governs our activities, the NYDA Act of number 4/2008, the National Youth Policy, the National Development Plan 2018. We have thought it important to reflect how the NYDA is responding in terms of its planning and balancing process to the decisions that are taken by our government in general and our executive authority in that regard. So we have reflected a little bit on how the work of the NYDA in this financial year and the next year will respond to the new employment accord that has been adopted and signed on by our government together with the other partners. We have also thought it important to reflect also on the process that the Minister has been referring to in relation to the current work that is happening of putting together the National Youth Policy, which will provide the framework for the work of the agency and youth development in general for the work all of government. In this regard, we have reflected the budget commitment of the agency in relation to this. In terms of the response to the European Employment Accord on education and training, the NYDA will invest about 15 million on youth project, about 2 million on the Chesapeake program, and 10 million on the National Scholarship Fund. On the exposure, Clements will invest 8.9 million on job preparedness and placement program. We will also invest about 4 million in student guidance. In terms of public sector measures, the National Youth Service and the Standard Public Works Program will invest 12 million of the NYD public allocation in this regard. We will then also invest in terms of youth entrepreneurship and youth cooperatives, through the grant funding about 30 million and on rural development about 50 million. In terms of public sector, job placement will invest about 2 million rand and the public private initiatives about 1.4 million rand. With regard to the National Youth Policy, once the policy is in the final stage of being completed, we have taken it into account in our planning process, our budgeting process, and to respond to the commitments that are being made on the draft youth policy, we will be investing in the following manner. In the economic participation phase, again through our grant funding program, 13 million, rural development participation, 15 million, business development, 26, 11 million, marketing, 2 million, entrepreneurship training, 7 million. Education and skills development through the National Youth Service, 20 million. Skills training, 5.6 million. Solomon Kahu Scholarship Fund, 20 million. Job preparedness and placement program, 8.9 million. Education rights, 10.5 million. And in terms of health and well-being, 2.2 million. National Youth Games and Social Cooperation through the National Youth Service Volunteer Program, 20 million. Social dialogue, 2.3 million. And outreach activities and engaging young people, about 2 million. We have also analyzed the environment in which we are operating in, both in terms of the external factors and the internal factors. In this regard, we noted that the issue of youth development has become a global priority, and the fact that if we were to respond effectively as a government to youth development challenges, which are mainly represented by poverty and income condition. It will require a multi-pronged approach, and it will also require a partnership approach of both government, civil society, and private sector. In terms of the environment, internal environment, we have looked at the leadership issue, and we have noted progress that we are making in terms of positioning the agency in a manner that it advantages work within the government structures, but equally with the view of advancing and accelerating services and products to young people. We have also reviewed our policies to make sure that the environment is conducive for the NYG to indeed become a credible and capable development agency. And we've also implemented, as part of the general strategy, the ELAS project, which, as I've indicated, I'll be sharing with you the outcome and the progress today in this regard, specifically in relation to the restructuring of the organization, as well as the skills policy support, which we're undertaking to assess the level of skills in the organization. The planning process was informed by the strategic outcome earlier, one being an improved and sustainable livelihood opportunity for young people in South Africa. Secondly, enhancement of participation of young people in social cohesion and toward nation building, as well as reaching a lending environment that promotes development in our sector, as well as development of country, capital and capital development agencies. We have also thought that it is important that we present the annual plan for this year and 5-year plan moving forward, as well as the budget for the 2015-2016 financial year. It will be important also to reflect with the community in terms of how we have done in the last 4 years, and also indicate how we have done in the past year of operation. In terms of the last period between 2011 and 2014, in terms of mentorship programs, we have been able to reach 4,580 beneficiaries. We have disbursed loans to the level of about 58 million. We have disbursed grants of about 11.7 million. We have created about 23,000 jobs. We have companies that we have assisted to register and operationalize about 1,897. Entrepreneurship training with 6,786 young people were trained. Vouchers have been issued to 6,809 young people. 1,999 young people were assisted with career guidance services. 6,169 young people were assisted to enroll for the second time in the Supervisor Program. 476 young people were assisted with bursaries and scholarship funding. National Training Program listed 2,000 young people. Life skills have been provided to 6,939 young people. In terms of health and well-being, 13,000 young people interfaced with programs of NLGA in relation to health and well-being. In terms of job preparedness, 85,000 young people were trained in terms of job preparedness. Then the next slide reflects the 2014-2015 financial year, which is last year, which we are meeting a disclosure that these are unaudited figures. The auditor general is in the process of auditing these figures. In terms of grant funding, we have beneficiaries of Item 71. We have dispersed 10.7 million rand in grants in the past financial year. 61,215 young people received business development services from the agency. 21 communities were assisted with rural development facilitation with a view of them taking advantage of commercial opportunities that might exist in their communities. 7,490 jobs were created for the various interventions of the agency. We have established and launched the Youth Development Institute in partnership with the University of Johannesburg. 28 local youth offices have been operationalized in the previous financial year in our quest to reach as many young people as possible. We have also shared with the secretary of this committee supporting documentation in relation to this information that we're presenting here, including the offices that we have opened and operationalized in order to reach young people. In terms of the budget performance comparatively for the 2014-2015, in terms of what the budget was and what our actual performance was, in terms of economic participation, we are budgeted to spend 70.6 million rand. We actually spent 70.6 million rand there. In terms of education and skills, we are budgeted to spend 65.5 million rand. We spent a little bit more there, we spent 17 million rand. In terms of policy and research, we are budgeted to spend 26 million rand, we have spent 28 million rand. In terms of garments, we have budgeted to spend 6 million rand, we have spent 24 million rand. And in terms of employee costs, we have budgeted to spend 182 million rand, but we have spent 122 million rand. Some of the key issues that we want to bring to the attention of the committee is that the general strategy that we presented to this committee, or was adopted by this committee, is in full implementation. the stages of the implementation are starting to break down with that. As I will present later on, the implementation of the HR projects will be able to share with the committee the progress that we've made to date. The process of repositioning the national service is also underway, and we also continue to seek to ensure that we are more accessible and we engage better with young people through local youth offices, as well as ensuring that we fully implement some of the aspects of the general service, among other people, the incentive program, to make sure that all the public officers that we have across the municipality are entering the country. Some of the work that will be happening in the country includes the standardization of the employment centers, the development of the interactive development strategy, which will be informed by the national policy, as well as the opening of the youth grade school, for which we are in advanced stages of negotiation with the private sector company to partner and co-fund this youth grade school. And with this also reflected on the number of, local offices that are operational in the various provinces, which I will not go through, as I have indicated this information, they have been shared with the Secretariat of the Committee and can be accessible to the members of the Committee. Some of the key priorities for 2015-2016 are for this program to the use of the youth school, repositioning of the National Youth Service Program, and the certification of access to youth. One of the key areas that we'll be addressing on is strengthening partnerships in order to make sure that we get useful partnerships from both the public sector, civil society, and even the private sector for investment in youth development. In terms of the operational matters, we continue to implement the CNRM strategy. We will implement the new organizational structure, which I will present later on, which the board has approved. We will intensify compliance with governance, laws, and regulations, and we will focus more on enhancing training and retraining of our employees on our capabilities to make sure that young people experience with the NIGA staff members in all important branches is a useful and integration. And I will not deal with the detailed numbers in relation to each KPI in terms of the target as reflected in the next section. Safe to say that we intend to upscale key priority areas in relation to the feelings that we intend to recover from the restructuring process and the reduction of the positions and consequently the employee cost-like element of the agency. So some of the numbers will be revised and updated as and when the implementation or the migration to the new structure is approved by the board is achieved. At this point, Chair, through, I would want to hand back to the CFO to take us through the budget, and then I will quickly conclude with the other chair.
Chairperson, this is just the budget for the NYDA for 2015-16 financial year. Just take you through the methodology that we go through to determine the budget. We work off a zero base, and we try to determine an accurate costing per product, and how much it costs per young person, and we then match these targets in our annual performance plan. We have consultations with each of our divisions within the NYDA. We take out all the champagne items and we replace with some less expensive water. And then we determine our salary budget based on our headcount plus our funded vacancy. Our projected revenue is then matched to our expenditure, and we revenue against our expenditure. If you look at some of the considerations that are important to take into account when we determine our budget, we have to run a head office in the economic hub of South Africa. We also have to run 14 full service level branches in order to deliver services to young people, and these are considered simply unavoidable costs. Our salary costs are also viewed as unavoidable at this point in time, albeit the necessary ones to meet service delivery expectations of young people. Each KPI of the organization is required to be funded. If the undercapacity is targeted, we set the organization up available. We're also required to make capital investments to replace aging IT infrastructure. And we need to keep up with innovative solutions to better deliver services to young people. We also want to implement our turnaround strategy, which requires certain priority investments to be made. I won't go too much into the market position, but I think we all know that austerity measures are being imposed across government, and this has resulted in a reduction of the grant. But the Portfolio Committee has approved an additional 200 million for the NYDA. Unfortunately, that approval came after the Minister of Finance's midterm review budget, but the application has been made to the committee, and it will come under review when the Interest Committee meets in July 2015. Economic growth in the country is fairly slow, and unemployment is still at about 3.5%. The inflation is one positive trajectory, it's at 4.9%, which is lower than the previous financial year. This provides some leverage to salary negotiation. If you look at the income that NYDA is able to raise, our national treasury grants amount to about 409 million, and we can raise about 18 million from other avenues such as our low friction and interest under our bank. So our total income for the financial year is projected at about 487 million. If we look at the next slide, just gives you an idea of our national treasury allocation over the past six financial years. It ranged from 359 million in 2010-11 to about 405 million in 2015. We also able to leverage our resources and raise some donor funding income. The Department of Public Works, through its extended public works program, contributes to our youth health program to the tune of about 10 million rand. The National Skills Fund contributes to our Solomon Shangu Scholarship Fund for about 10 million rand. The Industrial Development Corporate Corporation provides the funding for about 10 million rand for our voucher program. And EGD Kita provides us with about 2.5 million rand for our second chance to secure that program. We are able to leverage the other funding income. If you look at our expenditure budget, this is inclusive of employee costs. In the area of economic development, we plan to spend 72.1 million rand, which is about 17% of our budget. In the area of national youth service, education and skills development, we aim to spend about 87 million rand, which is about 3% of our budget, which is indicative of the board's strategic shift from economic participation towards education and skills development. In the area of research and policy, which includes dialogue with young people and consultations on, for example, the national youth policy, we spend about 46 million rand, which is about 11% of our budget. On our service delivery channel, which is really the heart and the core case of delivering services to young people, we spend close to 100 million rand, which is about 23% of our budget. And our operational cost for the institution is about 122 million rand. If we look at our expenditure trends over the past three financial years, 2012-13 and 2013-14 are audited, and 2014-15 is projected. Traditionally, we've been able to spend our budget allocation. In 2012-13, we spent 103% of our budget allocation. 2013-14, 102% of our budget allocation. And this year, our projections tell us we've fully spent our budget allocation. Therefore, if money is granted to the NYDA, we will indeed spend it on youth development programs. If we look at the MTS allocation over the next three financial years, I won't go into too much detail there. We'll see the trajectory of employee cost administration and goods and services over the period of the MTEF, which is 2014-15 to 2016-17. That is very dependent at this stage on our organizational development. So we put a disclaimer in there to say that this is very dependent, and the CEO will talk to the organization, organizational redevelopment later, and you'll see how that impacts on this slide here. If we then move to the MTEF allocation against each program area, in 2015-16, we've spent about 54 million rand on economic participation, 62 million rand on education and skills development, 17 million rand on policy and research, 32 million rand on service delivery. And if we, so this is now looking at it on the opposite side, if we take employee cost out of it and we consider a different line item, our operational employee and capital expenditure cost us about 261 million rand. Again, this is very dependent on the organizational redevelopment. So we have put that in there. Also, here you might see there's a reduction in economic participation and education and skills. That is not us reducing services to young people. We're now transferring the cost of delivery of products from our office to our branches, which changed accounting methodology. So you will have seen the growth in the service delivery channel in the 2015 budget. Also, in the area of policy and research, we completed the majority of our long-term projects related to the integrated youth development strategy and the youth employment plan, and therefore a reduction in policy and research as well. All those indicate the shift of strategic focus to policy and research from the NYDA to the University of Gilbert NYDA Youth Development Institute. That is the budget for 2015-16, and I'll hand back to the CEO.
As I conclude the chair, I will quickly speak to the qualification projects that we conducted. Just to give a brief background, the audits of qualifications was initiated in 2014 by the former CEO of the organization,
to address for the community's policy discussion of qualification by staff members, mainly those who have been elected from the two former institutions, the Division of Women's Funds and the Rest of the Commission. When the investigation was conducted internally, 19 employees were found to be in position of qualification which internally could not verify. In order to address this correctly, we then sought to give the opportunity to the employees in question to respond to the challenge of our inability to verify their qualification through a formalized disciplinary hearing process, for which we appointed two legal firms to do the work, being Cliff Decker Attorney, as well as Bowman Jensen, who will be the prosecutor on behalf of the NYGA, and the chairperson or independent chairperson of the disciplinary process of the NYGA, in order to make sure that the process integrity was in check and that we could find some judgment or findings and recommendations from people who are experts in the fields of business. In this regard, some employees, after him being presented with the letters to attend before the disciplinary hearing, subsequently submitted whatever was outstanding to prove the standing of the qualification. Others participated in the hearings themselves, and in the process of those hearings, they then produced the whatever missing information which we could not verify. And then some of these cases that where employees presented the information before they started the hearing, they were withdrawn, in which case they were killing of those. The next slide just provides a brief findings of Bowman and Jensen and the recommendations that were made to the NYGA management, which was really implemented as recommended by Bowman and Jensen. And I will not necessarily go into the details, the number of employees and the actions that are reflected on that particular slide. I will then quickly move the session to the skills audit report, which reflects part of the work that we have started to implement in relation to the implementation of the standard strategy for the agency. We initiated this process to determine and confirm the current skill set within the NYGA on the basis of this current strategic needs. We also sought to conduct a skills analysis of inward employees in education and branches and to determine what is lagging in the current skill set and what is lagging in terms of future delivery as informed by the strategy of the organization. Also, to develop an organizational skills based intent, which could include details of training needs, membership programs, skill assessment tools for each other. We also sought to provide a view on future skills by the desired state of performance in relation to the strategy and our objectives for the next 5 years in the future. We also sought to provide a view on skills required for growth and also a view on current skills in relation to the performance that is required at a respective point in time. The next slide provides a snapshot of the findings of the service providers who conducted this skills audit on our behalf, and then I will focus a bit on the recommendations that came through and our commitment just now. The recommendations that we made, they vary from ensuring that we look at the budget funding program and training and development program of the organization, as well as the customer programs, as well as internal training development programs that will target the various categories of good strategies as indicated in the report. Then I'll move quickly make a conclusion check to the organizational redevelopment and culture change. This work is ongoing. We thought that we should share with the portfolio committee because we have concluded SAFER, which is relooking at the macro structure, and we are going to be implementing it, given the fact that the rest of the other phases of this project require that this phase one be implemented. In this regard, we have sought the services of PwC to assist us with this process. We sought to achieve the following with this process: to realign and refocus the key legislative and regulatory and to realign the organization in relation to key legislative and regulatory documents, and to also ensure that we effectively achieve the 5-year strategic plan and the annual performance plan objectives. We also sought to realize and speed up the process of the implementation of the general strategy, which must lead us to a credible and capable development in the community. We also sought to address the high standard bill of the organization, but also reduce duplication of work and ensure that there is greater integration of the product and service delivery offered by the NYGA, and also focus more on continuous innovation production and development of the product and services that we offer to young people of our country to advance its development, but also to promote cross-functionality in line with the priorities of the general strategy, which requires that we develop a new cadre of employment within the agency, which aims to be all-rounded and respond to all cravings and acute needs of young people, but also to make sure that we adopt a more lean, streamlined and agile organization that is able to keep up with the demands of young people out there in terms of development. So those are the key priorities that we want to achieve. I will then quickly move to, I will not deal with the process that we followed. I will just give an indication of the slide that you see before you, what the S is, or is the S is of the National Development Agency in relation to the macro structure of the agency, and what has been put forward and approved by the board of the NYGA is what we are looking at now in the new structure, where we are moving from 10 executive positions to only 5. I will quickly deal with the new directorates that are being proposed and indicate the major changes there. We are going to be implementing a structure that is a chief executive officer, 2 senior managers in the chief executive officers, 1 responsible for policy and project coordination, and 1 responsible for corporate investments, which is the under to deal with ensuring that the funders are equipped to supplement the funding that we receive from government in order to advance the development. There will also be the internal audit unit, which will report administration to the CEO, but functionally to the audit committee of the board, as well as the company secretary to report to the executive director's office and report them with a deadline to the CEO. In terms of the new division that we have adopted as the board, is the division responsible for program design, development, and delivery, where all programs and the products and services of the agency are now housed under one division in order to streamline and ensure that there is better coordinated and better integrated delivery of our services and products to young people. The National Youth Service Division, here we are looking at the coordination of National Youth Service Program, both nationally and provincially, and the ambition is that as we approach year 3 and year 4 of this specific plan, we must therefore to approach to a point where even municipalities, some municipalities are implementing some form of national service program annually. Whereas what we're starting with now is try and see the situation where all government departments at regional level and provincial level are at least implementing one national service program annually. Then we have finance, which is responsible for budgeting, reporting and asset management, finance operations, supply chain management, as well as facilities management. The fourth division is corporate services, which will be responsible for human resources management, information communications technology, internal and external communications, as well as legal services. The fifth and last division is corporate strategy and planning, which will be responsible for strategic planning, organizational performance and monitoring, as well as program monitoring and evaluation, which will focus more on in-depth monitoring and evaluation and assessment of the programs that we are implementing on youth development to assess whether they are working, how they can be improved, or if they should be discarded and replaced by something else. So those are the five positions that we are moving from. Just to highlight key issues, but the major changes that we have adopted as the board, the incorporation of IT communications to corporate services, program monitoring and evaluation into corporate planning and strategy, SDC or Service Delivery Channel, Economic Development, Skills and Education, Special Projects and Health, and Wellbeing, into program design, development and delivery. We have moved facilities from corporate services to finance, organizational risk and knowledge management into corporate planning and strategy, and the two aspects that I've spoken to about internal audit and company charity. Some of the benefits that we will be realizing out of adopting and implementing this structure is that the salary bill at the level of the macro structure will reduce by some 14%, which translates to about 22 million rates, which can be redirected to youth development. We will also have a more lean organization, where we will move from 116 management positions to 15 management positions moving forward. We will also have better integration of programs, products, and services, and a clear integrated value chain effect for our programs. We will also focus on products and program enhancement, which is something that has been missing in terms of us taking learnings from what will be implemented, whether they work or not, and how we then reposition to improve to address the effectiveness of the members of the system. Also, streamlining of functions, as well as cross functionality in relation to
how we offer our services and how we utilize our staff members in order to deliver better faster. And then the next slide just provide a comparative analysis of the current structure as is and the new structure that we have developed, as I indicated in the South Institute in the numbers there, as well as the finances that goes along with it. Lastly, we've just reflected that the savings that we have spoken to of about 2.4 million that we realize from employee costs out of the implementation of this decision of the board, we are aiming to upscale the grant program by financing or redirecting the 12 million into the grant program, as well as the coordination of national initiatives by an additional 12 million. With that, thank you, Chair.
Thank you very much for this presentation. In this middle class of the list by project comments, members here to engage. You have to have it in your budget speech. Last question. We need an understanding of the going to build capacity for mental and evaluation of government. I don't see any questions that this has been specified in project. If you can just share this up for me, making sure I can vote for your letter. The audit outcomes of NCDC 2014 financial year, the audit journal has made some findings about the PPLD. They are saying that the lack of a proper record management system and verification of the coaching documents, that the DPMD report prepares an accurate and complete performance report that are supported and evidenced by reliable information. Because your presentation also does not reflect on the findings of the general report, you can also clarify that the reduction of 15 million, how is it then going to affect the running of the department, given the fact that you also mentioned that you needed more capacity, that is affecting without you coaching one body. There's no way that you will achieve anything in the department. How is that going to affect your running, efficient and effective running of the department? NYDA, and you. The law book. How are you going to resolve this? Because this one does nothing. I just checked now the Solicitor General's report. In fact, it is recorded in three different ways. You know? I think for the next financial year, you should find a way of dealing with it more altogether. And now I can see you are proposing a four-phase plan. Is that doable? Do you have capacity to deal with that? Will that pay value for money? Because another option would be for you to request what arises, but wait. Yeah. I think maybe that should be the approach instead of trying to bring any other program that will then put you into another study expecting an unfruitful expedition. Maybe you need to look at that option, but otherwise I'm not happy with your presentation. You're welcome.
Thank you, Honorable Chair. I think that I just want to address this short NYDA. I think we need to congratulate them on this presentation that they have done today. We know that 12 months a long way, we have been dealing with the issue of the NYDA. And the committee has very harsh words for the NYDA. We will know punches when you are dealing with these young people. And we have been fighting with them. And I think this report has even we really need to congratulate them on this report. The reason being that the way they have prepared this, they are dealing with it, and HG is finding. They are dealing with it, and they are saying how they are addressing the findings of the HG. Also, in this report, all the issues that this committee has raised over the last year, whether the loan book, whether the qualifications are seated now, that NYT is listening to us. They understand what we want from them, and happily accepting and happily saying this is what we're going to do. I think it was actually a very good report they presented. But this is one query I need from you. That the issue of qualifications and the disability process, I'm not clear on this here. When you say that an employee is found guilty, and then you say finals within 1 week, complete qualifications in 12 months. Now, if that employee is found guilty, it means that employee is not representing themselves when an employee applies to the job. The employee does not have the qualification. So that person got the job without the qualification that he claimed it yet. Now, when you get found guilty, how then do you then give the person a 12 month period to complete qualification? That person got the job, not so easy. So therefore, you should be dismissed in a case like this. How do you then say, you apply for the job and then afterwards you qualify for the job. I'm just not clear on what you are trying to say. Thank you very much.
Thank you, Honourable Chair. May I firstly appreciate and welcome the presentation by the Honourable Minister. I will start by saying that our minister said it is true from what the chair has raised, what the chair has raised. One appreciates that in terms of the department, some of the outcomes, it's quite difficult for you to manage to put them in terms of specific outcomes in terms of so that they can be measurable. However, there are areas that can be raised, like here are the speech of language, which you need to qualify in terms of how many because we collect your speech that is made exposed from the SONA, which is the 12 month length for the government, that you have to be able to have a prophetic age data evolution plan that is in the department, but there are still other departments that are still pending. And I don't feel like it's your presentation for the application to the presentation that there is a focus on SWAT, because we cannot be correct and questions will be created that we just stop from the 38th to want to do anything with the other one, that we feel absolutely that you promised that you will pay off for the she was about 11 more than we did. So the point that I'm trying to add to the minister, probably, I don't know how we can really do the capacity of the system for us to be easy for us to communicate each other, we can have also measurable. It will ask us, so that when we argue also here, that we face this money last year for more budget, we have more budget. For the treasury, which we hope that in our own way, because the treasury also might be likely to get more money. Yeah. But what behind you on that one? Chairperson, on the minister's presentation and on the hotline in general, because there are various types of hotlines and the presentation of the departmental one, there's also a TFC one and all that. I agree with you that we are eager to get that, but still the chair is in the of our committee program. We appreciate the presentation, which the minister has uploaded us by comfort that he will be much willing to deal with that one. Because that one is possibly also a mirror for the perception of our citizens, the transport government services of the government. also the issue of overstretch, if I use that word, of your personnel because of the matter also. I hope we are not going to end up having a refresher workforce because they don't also, which will also impact in your output as the department is in it. But I'm not suggesting that the Macron and those also. But I'm just saying that that's another thing that because all of this committee from other departments that also falls within our committee, we are trying also to look at the weather of the workforce in general. Other than that, in terms of MMT, in terms of transition by Honorable Minister, I'm done. Let me go to the second one that I will come back in terms of MMT. May I also build up on Honorable Minister's issue of verification of qualifications that I hope also we are using as the institution of government that can assist you to make sure that we don't appoint a person that we are not sure whether it's the correct and legally correct. Qualifications and other verifications that need to be done. It was one government while they're an entity of school. But also in terms of your presentation, in terms of your organogram, your new organogram. I didn't hear you talking, making reference or mainly the two in terms of your turnaround strategy. You finished turning now with a 2015-16 business plan. Or incremental in terms of the turnaround strategy, so you can't turn around infinity. The other one, Chair, was that the first step, I would be interested, which I appreciate that the lower levels of the CEO, the assigned their performance agreement, but to have the CEO sign his performance agreement, it was defined, it would be a challenge. Also, in the last year's plan, you had a target of 3,000 job creation. And I can see that only have only achieved 7,490. I didn't hear you in terms of appreciating that you didn't have the target and the reasons thereof. Or because the job creation also is in line, it's also you also take it as if you lose the grant, there's the voucher and the fact that you deserve. But you didn't say that. So it cannot be because you have 3,000 and 7,000 you also still reflecting that you don't explain what are the reasons thereof. I'll give the money part of it to the budget part of the chair to Honorable Mataja. I mean, I think that's just that I'll come back on that. But I still want to raise the other issue in terms of the bigger issue that you raised as the committee. Because I want also to stress the point of an active department that they can consider some of the issues. The loan for recovery strategy. You didn't talk about that one, although you are saying that you are looking at that. And I'm saying hopefully for 16, 17, if we send you, that's what you'll find in expression. Follow you for the future. Thank you.
and encourage the communication with others.
can put business impact, generate impact. Economic, if you have economic, if you have finance and economic, we understand the business income applicable to how. We know what business income is. Either you have trade on goods and services, or you have gone to somewhere that people can get the money and call it an income. This one has a rate income. They get a grant. You transfer the money from your own. That is what it is. So you must try when they take with you. Because you get a grant. Something that it can't be anything. And then if you go along with their budget, you find that when they come to total expenditure, they will see the results in 25 million. And they allocate the revenue to the education budget. But if you have to reconcile that with the other donors' contributions from the other department, 10 million. You remember the 10 million that they get. Because let's take a look at the day the auditor general says to them, reporting material in payment. Because what they do, they focus only on the money they transfer. And when they then come out with the output of that money, they like to be able to remember that there is some provision to inform the other sector to achieve the same objective. So that needs to stop. And I realize that with their improvement, trying to improve their community, they're going to the social media of the country, which is the leadership. Not one of them has a business. We have to let the social media know why is that they try. But I still need to some good entry on it. Because if you look at the I think it's number one, which talks about the development. Problem design, development, and delivery. That's number one. That's the first thing. And then they put things there. That this person who will occupy the position, this would be the directorate or whatever I made, and this is what he's done. Then you look at the number five, which is public something. But in the next thing, that person is appointed there, even doing similar job like what that number one is doing. By the money in which the person and the people are delivered according to their structure. So we should find that the job was very spending on number five, the point on number five, according to their structure. There will be a program and a monitoring environment, which is supposed to be designed by a person, by the way, who is designing it. And that person is sitting there. That person is developing and designing. This is supposed to look at all the strategic plans. So I think they need to help. The previous capital. I'm so sure that I heard that this is a thing that voters approved. And this is a big problem. I think it's going to
thank you, Chairperson. Greetings to the Honourable Minister and the team and members of the committee, Sir President. Look, mine for the department is a comment on the issue of Amapost. On my side, I would at least appreciate that there's been that initiative to fill the vacant post. Because the problem that we have seen in the Commerce Department is that every position, especially critical position, you find acting people. Everyone is acting in the department will end up being a generation recast. And that affects the performance of the department. Because if you are understaffed, you can't perform so well as that. That is the reality. So for the stretch minister that we have taken initiative to feed the post and further made a request for another 1,050 posts. To me, it's a good initiative that says to me there is going to be a performance in this department. Should everything according to what you have requested is happening. So that's one I appreciate. Then coming to NYDA, I will also really appreciate the performance that I'm observing. The change that one is observing, especially regarding your presentation and the way you are in the structure now, it really says you really take our comments into consideration. But there are a few things that I want to comment. I asked this question before of I really do not find it appropriate that you use 10 million to sponsor people to rewrite their message under the structure. I'm of the view that the Department of both Basic Education and Higher Education can be lobbied to take over this particular program. This is a huge amount that you can spend in finding people to rewrite. That to me, that 10 million can be used in training young people in business programs. And again, I do not get this 2 million run for health and well-being. Whereas we've got the Department of Health that can be lobbied to perform a particular task. We've got structures like Love Life that can be lobbied to, in fact, they are doing that. To reserve 2 million run to tell people to do our to not really trust on this campaign, HIV AIDS on this campaign. I do not think that one fits appropriately in this structure. And looking at the 10 million, this and this and this 2 million, it comes up to 12 million that can be spent in other important programs within your structure. And just one comment on the issues of the skilled qualification ability. Well, it's excellent on that, I'm happy on that one. But what gives me frustration is when you go in and avoid rich white friends just to conduct disciplinary hearings. I'm a former young practicing attorney myself. And I can tell you, as these are young lawyers, great young girls, who can share those disciplinary hearings? Rather than spending to those well-known, government countries to work away them, I can post all those kinds of rich white friends. I do not get a supposedly short. You pay the huge fee. Yet your mandate is to develop young people. Young practicing lawyers are still young people need to be developing. It doesn't mean that those for law firms are not rich. That's the practice. They will wait for one green application a day, but they still need your services to come out. So people have
Thank you very much for your presentation. Obviously, we are here on your strategic plan and the way you can forward. Now, I would believe that the department like yours expecting continuous growth and improvement from high government departments. And then I always believe that if you expect from others, you must be setting the example. Now, if you look at your document that's been handed to us, just on the annual performance plan 2013-2016, and if, for example, it's not a question 19, I'm concerned that many of your strategic objectives going forward does not seem to follow that trajectory of improvement. As a matter of fact, when we go to the strategic objective 7x4, prior and defend the right people, and then you say that the actual performance in the 2013-2014 was 100%, and going forward, you achieve 90% submissions of performance agreements, 90%, and up to 2018-2019, only 90%. Whereas in the past you would see 100%. The same then for example on the next one, the targets of workplace skills plan achieved. What if the performance of 50% was 90%? Then dropped to 80%, and it seems to me going forward, it remains on 80% of the poverty in the workplace was planned by the end of this financial year. And so on, on page 35, for example, you have achieved, on the briefing notes to the cabinet memoranda, you have achieved 100% for previous two financial years. Yet the target going forward is first 80%, 80% for 2016, and then up to 75%. And so on, and so on. So can I just ask, I would assume that, you know, that efficiency would be, okay, I know your budgets are not growing at the same rate as it used to be in the past. As a matter of fact, I think it's just inflation-related increase that you're getting. But I would like to see some improvement. And why are we not seeing that? Of your targets. Then, on page 57, you still have this program for planning, and you are responsible for the Secretarial Services and support to the National Planning Commission. Now, the National Development Plan was launched with quite a time period, and the Minister, Trevor Manuel, was also responsible for that, etc. My question is, what is the current state of? Is the planning commission still meeting regularly? Because we all know that planning cannot be a static thing, that it must be adopted. Now we're going to see revisions of this. Now, if you could just tell us what are your views on where we stand at present, and in terms of the next program, program 5, you say one of your strategic objectives is to develop and implement youth policy frameworks in monitoring the implementation of those frameworks. I think I speak on behalf of all us as members of this committee when I say that we are seriously concerned about the conditions of the youth in our country and that their current policies are not as effective as we would like to see in terms of addressing the challenges faced by the youth in this country. Yet we see little in terms of effective youth policy changes because the challenges still remain. As a matter of fact, I fear that I believe that my personal opinion, many of the challenges are increasing in terms of the youth. And can you give us some hope in that regard? Can you tell us that listen, we are working on the policy frameworks and we do believe that the position regarding the youth will be alleviated in the not in the future? Can we move to the presentation by the National Youth Development Agency? I want to share my colleague has spoken concern about the second chance for the kids, the rewrite program. I must also just inform the National Youth Development Agency on page 5 and 6, as a strategic objective, the number of young people enrolled in the MIDA and the rewrite program. That performance indicator is included in TikToks on the university, and obviously that lack of quality control of the presentation does not result a lot of confidence in me. But you are only scratching the surface. I confirm with my colleague here, I'm not convinced that this is the National Youth Agency's format to do this, and to only assist 3,500, 4,000 young people means that 31 in 32 recipients will be given this opportunity to be assisted with the rewrite. And then we mentioned the cost of 10 million rand, means 2,500 per learner. I'm not convinced that that's being this country and the young people paying for money. And obviously we also don't know about the success rate of that piece. Then, in terms of your loan book, and I'm grateful for the attention that you're giving to this. So it seems to me at this point in time, what you're saying is that we're expecting for every 35 rand still owed to the National Youth Development Agency, we are expecting 1 rand. 1 rand every 35. So I'm afraid your presentation in terms of 60% being a wonderful repayment rate and so on. And if you compare that with 55-90% of tax hike, any commercial bank that really improves 85% of what it has given out will not be in business for long. So please, if you could tell us, is it correct? In terms of accounting principles, only one man are getting what they need from the market system. Then lastly, I commend you for your plans to reshape your organizational structure and to decrease the emphasis on senior managers in your organization. The only problem is that there are a few ways to do that. One is to grow at the lower levels and then increase this dependency on senior managers. But the other one, unfortunately, would be to lay off some people. You want to decrease quite sharply from 68 managers to 32 or so. It seems to be as if that may lead to forced layoffs. Will you just tell us what are your plans in this regard? How do you want to achieve this decrease in the daily top management? And have you budgeted for some golden handshakes for people that will have to face the cut? Thank you.
Thank you very much. Let me see if I can get to the nub of my comment and question as quickly as possible. I want to start, Honourable Minister, where you ended, exactly where you ended, on the last point you made, that was a commitment that over the next 5 years of the community will be upscaling and making sure that things happen. And I'll read exactly what you said here. DME will continuously raise the bar of government accountability by shutting, planning, monitoring, evaluation, processing, all that. I have no doubt that we intend to do that. Here's the concern. And you sort of alluded to it in your presentation when you were taking slide number 9 in terms of indicators. And you were saying, in pursuance of the goals and achievements of the MEP, your departments must take the strict measures that the office of the various departments must align to the MEP. And if they don't, then they find it difficult to have them devices approved. And I agree with you. And there lies your problem in the overall performance of the department. First, the department is about monitoring, it's about assessment, it's about evaluation. However, like the other departments, two of them, the AG's office and the Public Service Commission, you have mentioned that you don't have teeth. You don't align the points of implementers. You recommend corrective measures. And then, of course, to frustrate you and frustrate us and the realization of this, we come across in the plan itself, and this is a reflection of where the frustration comes, that as part of the risk in achieving the objectives that we have set or the department set, there is a reluctance by departments to participate in the national evaluation plan process. That's just one. The other one, failure to get buy-in and support from departments. In other words, the GPN comes up and the junior assessment, they come up there and say, this is the thing we have found. However, there is reluctance in those people who are in the line process. And this comes out very clearly, Minister, you're going to see this. In the FX 2013, one of the biggest weaknesses that has been established in terms of the four areas that have been mentioned, strategy management, government and accountability, HR management, and finance management, HR management comes out as the weakest link. Many of these departments perform at level 1 and 2 instead of 3 and 4. And that is why we end up with this situation addressed by my colleague about having to employ these expensive ways to do disciplinary actions. Those things are line functions which should be done by the people inside. They're not operating with the department. My question is, and this is the question the AG has asked and the Public Service Commission has asked, what is it that this department can do to get something through these entities to be able, when somebody does it, perform? There are consequences. Like the only consequences in the departments, they do not align their budget with the MDP. They will have to come back and show that they've done that. What are the consequences of this that we can, so that we can achieve those 2017? Thank you.
Thank you.
Great,
presentations by the minister and leader of Malaysia. Appreciate it, much appreciated. I have a lot of good issues with the minister, for the issue of the hotline. I wish more information could be shared with us in terms of the responses and the research levels of the community with regard to the effectiveness of the tool, so that we are able to monitor and see to the improvement of this tool. Another issue, the minister raised a need for an increased budget to address more of the obligations of the department, which is quite commendable. But down there, with regard to the DPME budget, mention is made of a rollover. What contributes to the rollover, where there is a need for an increased budget? Maybe that is a limiting factor that we can talk about, or measures that could be taken in order to avoid this rollover and the dire need of an increased budget. Furthermore, the NYGA is about the loan book. The issue of the loan book is it's a bit too long. We had a lot of us. And they've developed a 4-point plan to implement the improvement of society to improve the situation. So I'm just thinking, what if they are foresight with regards to the effectiveness of their 4-point plan? But frankly, the way they've presented it to me, it sounds very cumbersome. And I really feel that it might take a little long for us to realize the improvement. But if it's something healthy, something easy done, which is quite amazing. And this one is more for comments than question check. The CFO made mention of the deposit unit as a first line of defense. I'm making sure. Because of the stress, an audit unit, which is an imperative to any department, to be a risk indicator, to be a very sensitive critic of how funds are being expanded, to be able to monitor and identify the risks in a department, not to be the best line of defense. That's what I would expect from the unit, the audit unit. Discuss the comments. Then lastly, we have to the qualifications, considering what Bamba has said. Why are going to law firms instead of one? When measurements are made of facility measures, hey. Thank you very much.
Questions to the minister, to two of them. Minister, I was wanting to know whether the department has established the socioeconomic impact assessment system yet to carry out those impact assessments of new and existing legislation to make sure that they're aligned to the NDP and there are no unintended consequences. Because I think, this might have questions in the same way. Because I think that's very important work, and I'd like to know if it's going to be properly resourced with the budget. And secondly, also, Minister, I'd like to know why there is a youth development desk in the presidency when we already have a national youth development agency. Is that duplication? How do their mandates and functions differ? And then on to the NYDA itself, Chair. I've got two questions here. Firstly, back to the old bugbear of salaries. Last year, in a reply to the budget vote, the deputy minister said, I quote, "We're turning the corner in support of the NYDA, and we hope that in a couple of months we will be announcing the fact that it has
I look on slide 23 of the presentation, it seems to me that the employee costs of over 185 million being divided by the NPES allocation, in other words, the NYDA's gross 409 million, expenses percentage comes out to 46%, which is still anomalously high. And in fact, if I'm not mistaken, I think it's higher than comparative proportion last year. So I want to know, we've been hearing for a very long time about the organizational development process and how it's going to slash the wage bill. When is that going to be finalized? And how is it going to slash the wage bill? So I'm still not clear on that from the figures. Then secondly, if you take away employee costs, it seems to me that substantially less money is being spent on what should be the two key priority programs, economic participation and education and skills. So if you express the amount of money allocated to economic participation over the total grants, 409 of them, that's 12.5%, and to education and skills, 14.5%. Now that's significantly less than the allocation of operational employee and capital expenditure. And in fact, it's declined in both year and year. If you look, especially in education and skills, it seems to have declined, the allocation, I mean, from 64.5 million rand in 2014-2015 to 62 million rand in the current financial year. Why is that? Then thirdly, by contrast, the allocation for the service delivery channel has shot up quite a lot year on year, from 245 million last year to 261 million this year. What exactly is the service delivery channel? What is it called? Private? What is the money you're spent on? Fourthly, you allude to the fact that the draft national new policy was issued for comment by the presidency, by Emmanuel Mela, not too long ago. Has anybody done an analysis of what the financial implications of that national new policy would be on the NYDA itself? Are there specific obligations that the national new policy, with the draft form, puts on the NYDA? And if it does, how is it going to affect you given the financial constraints of the organization and the economy more broadly? Fifthly, what, in addition to those financial implications, would be the institutional implications? Were all the recommendations that are made in the draft NYT, that's the last version I saw, what would be the institutional implications of all those recommendations being put into effect? I'm thinking particularly around the creation of provincial advisory boards. Perhaps you could update us on the retaining of the actors really line with the establishment of those provincial advisory boards. And then finally, I'd like to know, for your annual performance plan, how you plan to remedy the specific deficiencies which were identified in the 2013-14 annual report programmatically, which is the underachievements in enrolling the number of people you wanted to enroll in the Matric Relight program. Do you have specific plans to make sure that doesn't happen again? As well as the underachievements of your targets in supporting 100,000 young people through the job preparedness programs. That is, thank you.
No. This is my last question. Outcomes-based monitoring. Whatever needs we can present. How if you the negative effect we're different just at the performance at the minute time in the minister so that we have assist as well which is the parliament. How do you see us engaging with and what kind do you have from parliament really so you also are able to register the implementation of the arm or of parliament. How do you want to interest in receiving this grant? So, I mean, in general, all the outcome-based, I mean, we're not having, like, a good thing in place. You are promoting as a parliamentarian, so you don't take a part.
Expected
that ministers the whole society performance of buildings with the hands and you can scale their plan. So all those instruments are there. On the issue of vacancy, I need to indicate that as at the end of March 2015, our staff complements established as 200 seats. The peak of 2019 is of the 1st of April 2015. So if you look at the post that have now fulfilled as of the end of last financial year, still 2025 posts on top of the total of 26, which means that we have a 92% of capacity, which is below the norm in the public space. So in other words, 245 vacant posts as of now, starting from this on the issue of capacity building interventions, there are various levels of how we are intending to increase capacity building. We have elaborate MED capacity development practice, which includes regular assessment of monitoring and evaluation practices in government and private sectors. The forums that are convened on a quarterly basis for all reporting outcomes that are there with the NTSA. Also, for NECADs in the provinces that are being convened on a regular basis. I've also indicated that we're also linked to other international institutions, as I said, about a month or so ago, was a good meeting here in Cape Town to deal with those issues. There is also the South African Monitoring and Evaluation Association, which participated. There was a very good meeting there about 3 weeks, almost 3 weeks ago, at the Beach University, which coincidentally was chaired by Professor Richards, who is the DG of Public Service Commission. So all these aims that I'm showing that we have an elaborate system of monitoring in order to reinforce and enhance our capacity. On the issue of the Auditor General, I do take the comments and the criticism of colleagues on this matter. However, I need to point out that actually the Department had a key important point for the Auditor General. All those emphasis on the matter are the issues that going forward are going to be improved on. So I need to put that commitment. But already, we have established an electronic tracking system in order to ensure that we can load information. At the end of this meeting, I'll be meeting again with the top management and the department to look at how we can be able to utilize the capacity that CSSA has in order to ensure that we increase our capability as we perceive it as important to monitor the performance of the government. Over and above that, we are going to be ensuring that we've got a digital platform where we put the national development plan and put the NTS app in order to ensure that it is money apps also using our CSSA for the depositor of information. And not only that, but also our commitment in the aid in achieving
quiet was the discussion on data revolution. And what also ended there was going to be ensuring that the system that was developing would also capture the targets of the AD agenda trading system. In September, going to the United Nations where they will progress towards the 2015 agenda of energy. So all these nine visions at the end of the day need to have a map of Africa where at the present of the frontier to be able to know whether we are achieving the objectives each year of the water and sanitation. The only is a map of peace tell us where the challenge is. So I thought I needed to highlight some of this. On the issue of targets, I take the criticism about the seeming inconsistency in the growth trajectory. But also, we also recognize that sometimes in the beginning of the system, there is a tendency to say that very noble the target which realistically cannot achieve. So the aim of sometimes reducing that is to be realistic of what can achieve. On the issue of local government on that, I think the officials will highlight some of them and strikes we are making in terms of cooperation with the institution of the high government. On the issue of the hotline, I think the boss of the situation of China for that sort of thing. Maybe she can highlight a group just in broad outline in the satisfaction study that has been done. On the issue of the role of this is more of a contextual issue, because in terms of what remains, we did it. The contract was going to be ending with the request of the nation. So if we did not ask for the role over to amend the contract, we'd be in breach. Not that the money is not being spent, it's being spent, but the program will not end with the request of the nation. It continues until October, September. So that's the reason. That's the reason for that. On the issue of on the capacity for socio-economic impact assessment, this is a joint project, mainly between GPMD and National Treasury, but there are other companies that have been created. So at this stage now, we can begin to start the program. I advise that we need the adequate resources to deal with this matter. My views about performance agreement. I think Parliament has played its role to hold the executive accountable. So that is your responsibility for changing. There's nothing that prevents this quality from summoning any member of the account of how they are implementing the constitution. I think it is your mandate in support of my understanding. On our part, also, as I said, the program of action, which is largely based on the MTSF and also the policy agreement, will be on our website as soon as you have been signed up. So it will be available. On the on delegations, I think we can get that. And also the DPSA entity, as I said, forging more linkages. I am still in distress mining towns. I'm sure maybe if there can even be a joint committee between yourselves and mineral resources. On the issue society is, they are here, but I need to point out that last year in July, I delegated all responsibility for youth development, all of youth development to the 18 years. So he has all the authority and the power to give us. So I think if we can invite you sometime, you can give more insights onto this portal. So he does report to me from time to time so that we can have questions about what he says. But the friendship, the advocacy, the department to deal with these matters is formed to all these questions. But before they do so, I must say, when the CFO was talking about employing two friends of Jodesha and why should we employ lawyers outside that country to deal with this immigration matters? And also to judge my users not from the past, for those personal reasons. Sometimes the hidden government were not utilizing the legislation that we have that is called Finance Management Act, PFMA. Because some of these methods actually, in my view, do not necessarily require a system of protection, but to lay a charge, a financial misconduct, so that if you can criminally charge, you are using state resources. That's a great issue. In spite of what I said about the capacity and the need to increase our capacity of reparations, I'm happy to announce that I hear right now. There are 11 evaluations that have been completed, up from 8 and 28 more by different stages of development. In November last year, 3 evaluations were sent to cabinet. And 11 have been approved as of February 2015. With the cabinet meeting today, I think there were 2 or 3 evaluations that have been approved, which would increase the number to about 13 or 14. And improvements being implemented, there are 10. The research that is underway is about 23. And those that have in the later stage, there are actually. Chief, I do think we have chief. Mm-hmm. The effect that as of 2014, when the new administration took over, there's budgetary proposals to the Minister's Committee on the Budget not be sent there and left until GPMP certifies that those budgetary proposals are in line with the NDP and the intent to implement. I think gives us advice in order to ensure that we can be able to force governments to comply with the NDP and the NDPs. Consequences, I come back to the point I raised earlier on, that we need to ensure that as the executive, but also as officials charging who are not in compliance. So I mean, on the NPC, the National Planning Commission, you would have noticed that about a month ago, we issued an assent because the term of office of the National Planning Commission comes to an end at the end of May 2015. So we have to appoint, the President has to appoint the Planning Commission. So it is intention of the President and the government. Continue the national debate, but with a nuanced mandate that is focused largely on the implementation. they meet needs, they meet on a regular basis, and as mentioned, as when I'm going to see the new NPC, hopefully, I think, rest of you. So when TV, I'm not preparing like a show on short for the NPC, in order to ensure that there will be a proper handout to the new show. On the issue of the initiation of the soul, to get the point that maybe we're not smart MTSF as an economic. So it is our intention to go on roadshows this time around to all the provinces so that we are satisfied that our friends are in line with the MTSF and also to ensure that we interact to all stakeholders that have an impact on the implementation. So then allow the officials also to add and answer some of the questions that have been asked.
Thank you very much, Minister and Honourable Chairperson and Honourable Members of the Committee. Our Minister has sent a comprehensive list for the question to just respond to the specific ones that she has assigned to us. Article 1 that relates to the local government, management, improvement money, and my colleague sitting to my right, Senator Wilhek. Could you to say this approach has shown so much promise beyond our expectations? We've taken the MPAT, Wisdom Practice Assessment Tool, and applied to the local government level. Our target was that 20 municipalities should be enrolled into the program, i.e. teaching the children doing their own self-assessment and upload the evidence so that those are doing external evaluation can then check whether their scores are accurate or not. Thus far, 29 municipalities across 6 provinces have adopted this method. The only provinces where we don't have municipalities on board are KZN, Northern Cape, and Western Cape. We're working continuously to get more municipalities to use LG name too. We, together with our colleagues from the different units, would be very happy to come and do a dedicated presentation to the committee on the progress that we are making. But like I'm saying, it shows another promise. The four municipalities that we have planned have enrolled themselves on the program, and it looks at teachers, integrated planning and management, management of service delivery, human resource management, financial management, community engagement and governance. So over the next 2 years, if they can, all municipalities take this tool, assess themselves, look at their recommendations, implement, we do believe that there will be improvement. We do strongly believe so. Thank you, Honourable Chair. I'll hand over to my colleague, Hilaire.
Thank you, Minister. The question was about the hotline. I just wanted to say that we very much appreciate the opportunity to have a special in-depth session on the hotline. We have a lot of very useful and interesting data that we would like to present. We have data on just the simple performance in terms of complaints that have been received, the complaints that have been resolved for every single department in every single province. The latest result is 94% of complaints are resolved, and there's about 11 files that are remaining open. But the breakdown of that per province, per department, we have available, and we'd like to have a special session of the event. But on top of that, we are doing satisfaction surveys on a daily basis. So we would call citizens and ask them what the experience has been of the hotline. Those results we also have for every single department in every province, where complaints have been resolved. And the recent results are that there are some departments that are receiving very good satisfaction ratings. Up to 70% of citizens would say that their experience has been good to fair in terms of the complaints that have been, for example, home affairs complaints, citizens with rates to experience very, very highly. And then there are departments and provinces that, of course, have received very low satisfaction ratings, and we can discuss that in more detail. And then we've also recently completed very in-depth research about what people are complaining about, and we'd like to present that to the Commission as well, all the different types of complaints and what is that saying about our different policies and programs in government.
Thank you, Chair, and perhaps through the Ministry, if I can just allow the CEO, there were numerous quite a few questions for us. Perhaps if we look at stats, I'll then conclude with the last
Thank you, Chair, for one of you is a number of questions would have come differently, but the number of the things which I'll try to contribute the responses with regard to the loan book, we are quite confident that the 4 points plan will work. We are still implementing it. So
I would just We are also quite happy about your commitment of raising the bar in terms of the executive accountable, of just improving accountability. We will hold you to that. Okay. And lastly, from our side, from the 21st and the 22nd, we are going to hold public hearings on 30 days of payment to service providers. Alex wrote in here, we are going to require your assistance at the meeting the cabinet on that issue. It would be helpful that you give us specific serial offender so that we don't have to call everybody and ask them to come to us. And we appreciate your office and the information. We also wish you a success to also not on potential, but not on future.
On the 30 day, there's a lot of interest in the
oh, 30 days. Okay. I think we want to have a good time. Oh, cabinet approved. Okay. So we will be holding those public hearings. I hope that we will have to go and put them around and try to, in such an extent, to address the problems that are there. Okay, first,
thank you very much.
Thank you. Is there anything that I want to add?
As I've indicated, we are quite confident of our offering plans in relation to the local. And as indicated in the flag, we intend to resolve the question of the removal by the 31st of March 2016. And that is the commission that we are making. We will make the plan work. So we are making that commission so we can be held accountable to that. The person capacity, yes, we have the capacity to deal with the matter. Hence again, we are saying we are confident that we should be able to achieve that plan by the 31st of March 2016. The question that speaks to the qualification of audit report specifically in relation to the findings which are being people before the HM lending given final action warnings. There are two specific issues here that I must highlight. The first one is that what the lawyers have said to us is that these cases are so old in terms of when these people were appointed. And some of these employees, when they appeared for the disciplinary process, they had indicated that at some point, in the chain of that appointment with the NYTA, this issue would have been come in by management of NYTA, and management of NYTA would not have taken an action in that particular process. The lawyers advised us that behavior, in terms of law, is interpreted as NYTA being condoned this situation. Because if they say that my manager, in 5 years ago, became aware with said who discussed it, and they didn't put this across, then you are assumed to have condoned that behavior. So you can't therefore go and implement other measures. This is why we have mentioned the trial or the recommendation rather from the lawyers was that you can't expel these people, but rather you can enter into an agreement for them to improve their standard to meet the level of where they are. Which is why you will see that the way this is also say, short mark to complete. What is missing is that in the event that they don't achieve that, according to the recommendation, then they have to be, to be demoted to one position lower than where they are currently located now. That is the one thing. In other instances, we found that the employment of the particular employee was not influenced by the qualification, so a person would have been headhunted to the position, and what the qualification was not measured at the point. Again, I think all these things are in a long term on that. So we were settling the situation with how do we deal with it and correct it moving forward. But again, we're taking that position moving forward. I want to also at this point try and respond to the question of saying what is the best way of dealing with people who have committed some acts which can be seen to be criminal or whatever the case might be. And my view is that from an energy perspective,
work done on text in terms of the law. When you have reasonable grounds to believe that somebody has transgressed against the legislation, you put charges before them, follow process, so that you don't, you are not found wanting with people taking the decision and the buckles and so forth. What would then typically affect when cases attend, you'll find that when you put matters before people, they choose to resign. So the moment you choose to resign, you have no control over what becomes of them. If they resign, then they resurface someone at another department, they have no control over it. The only thing you can do is to pursue them criminally, which is why we laid in the national defense and so forth. I think the most effective way, in my view, for government to deal with this thing would be to create some sort of a database of people who have been found guilty of those kinds of transgressions, or they have resigned while they're facing particular charges, so that maybe in terms of appointments, then you know, the people should reflect that database. So this one is the case, they should not be appointed. So that is just the analogy in a holistic approach in terms of our pushing government and changing the decision. Then the question again in relation to this method is the qualifications question. The question, why appoint law firms? Let me answer that question first before I answer the one of why choose two law firms. The situation was that this process was started way too long. Far back, 2004, it started the process. So in 2004, sorry. The process started. No. 2012. The project started. It took too long such that it started to polarize the environment inside the organization. It was important for us to preserve the objectivity and the independence of the process such that anybody, if found guilty, they are able to accept the outcome without seeing it as some way of a hedge or whatever that could influence, you know, the taking from the process. So that is the reason why we sought to outsource the process to people outside of the organization so that we're able to get credible outcomes which can be imagined, which everybody can be able to affect. Now, why to fence? When you go through the hearing process, as the employer, you want to check, you must share the process and listen to both sides of the story and come to a conclusion, recommendation, which will be true. But as well, you must prosecute. So the one firm was prosecuting on behalf of the organization, and one firm was sharing the process and basically handling the process. The question of why they established firms, it generally happens that in this particular case, we ended up with this type of service providers. But if we look at how the legal work of NYD and how it has been allocated over time, there is a good representation of small and emerging firms that are doing back within the NYCA. This just so happened that in this case, the special process of the developer is particular outcome. Then on the question of the turnaround strategy will not be an endless process. We have developed an implementation plan of the turnaround strategy, which is informed by both the capacity to implement everything, including financial capacity for that matter. So we have an implementation plan which we can share with this committee in future, to show this is completed by when and by when the full channel authority will be fully implemented. And the question of the utilization of other state organization verification organizations in terms of verifying qualification before we appoint, we are using that. As I've indicated, most of the cases, if not all of them, would have been of people who have been involved in the organization way before the terms of NYGA or in the early days of the terms of NYGA. I'll leave the question of the CEO's personal contract to the chairperson to respond to. The question of job creation, we had targeted to achieve 2,250 in terms of job creation, and we're targeting to facilitate placement for 3,000, which effectively together 75,750. And then I think I've spent a lot of work to cover the strategy. Then the questions of the budget, the income, the structure, I think I'll leave to the CFO to just to respond to that. But in terms of the structure, we are continuously working with PwC. Now that they still have an element of micro structure that they must change, and the question of change management structure of the scope of the work that they do and culture change. So we are continuing to work on that, so we're not the input that has been raised there. Then the questions of the metric rights, the specification, I'll leave that for the chair to deal with. On the question of health and well-being, we note the comments that have been made, but what we decided to do here was to say, even though health, the Department of Health and other organizations like SANCA and everybody else is doing a lot of work in the health space, it might be important for us to have key priorities of what we think needs to be intervention during this financial year that we might influence these role players to implement, because we think that the priorities for development, currently we're talking about drug abuse and substance abuse and alcohol abuse. So what we do is we sponsor the ideas for them to do and we co-fund. So this $2 million that we have is we use to co-fund to encourage them to do this or to implement this project that are priority according to our assessment given the various communities that we have been intervening. I think the question of the problem of the participants as the relative responded to them. And then the question of the loan book in terms of the recovery, because we agree that the picture is not looking that good, but what we will please be the committee is that let us be given chance to implement this four-point plan, which we are confident to work, and then by the end of this financial year, we will have other recovery we are able to recover, right of where we are able to write off, and restructure arrangements with groups that are, you know, can be able to restructure and still care in one way or the other. But we it's an area that we have highlighted, we have prioritized, and we have also highlighted it to this committee, and so it seems to take the committee into confidence in terms of what we're intending to do moving forward. The question of the migration to the new structure, what are the implications of that? At this point, we are talking about executive management and senior management, which is a fixed term employee-based. We think that we can be able to find a way of migration to the new structure with less complications as opposed to people who would have been appointed or permanent basis. So we think that we will put in place a solid plan to address that. Then in terms of the issues raised in relation to the commitments by the DC Minister to reduce the salary bill, we think we should request to be given a bit of time to implement the general strategy. Part of it is what we have presented today, the structure that we are reducing and the savings that we are seeing or that will be realizing for the administration. So we'll just ask the supervisor to the function. Less money being spent on cheaper grants, versus employee cost and operational cost. In the last 4 years, there has been a continuous decline in the grant of the NYGA. The fact of the matter is that you are fixed cost, you can't do anything about them. You must run bright, you must pay for that. So those ones, you can't really do much. But obviously, the intention is to put the international development strategy to reduce those fixed costs as well. Then the increase on service delivery channel, this is where we deliver our products and services to the branches. That's what HDC is there for. So what you will see is that indeed this further driving the budget allocation for HDC has shot up significantly, but you will equally see that the budget allocation for economic development, national service development has decreased because we have moved the budget to the branch, so the money must be where the implementation is happening. This is part of the implementation of the general strategy. Question of institutional arrangements with regards to the national health policy, I will leave that to the chair to speak to them. And I think in short, I have tried to respond to all the issues that have been raised.
Thank you. I would refer to the Honourable Carter asked about the expenditure trend. According to slide number 46, which gives the most detailed breakdown of how per program area expenditure is allocated. And there you'll see about 71-72% goes into programs and about 28% goes into service, including the effects of the program. I think that responds to the expenditure trend question. Then there was one comment regarding internal audit. I think that's my former career in audit would have made me take internal audit act as your first line of mechanism for detection of risk in the organization. But internal audit is still independent of management. that is why you would have seen on the structure. As always, we will not report to the CFO or the performance information here. It reports directly to the CEO. As always, it's perceived to be more robust in its engagement. And therefore, it serves as an entirely one system compared to the other CGMs, which only audit you once a year. And that's where that comment would arise from. And I think on the loan book, just a final comment, it's important for us to recognize that this is an integrated strategy to be able to address the challenges of the loan book. Either way, whether we were to write off the entire loan book or we were to go wholesale and start attaching people's assets, we would find ourselves in a sticky situation in a few years from now. So we put together the integrated strategy, which we believe will address all challenges and finally put closure to the matter of the loan book, that further boards of the MLA and further executive management of the MLA will not have to deal with this problem. Thank you, Chairperson.
I think in closing there were three questions left unanswered. I think the easiest one would probably be to say that we have signed a performance contract as the board of the NYGA with the CEO, Honorable Soma. So that contract, of course, we have signed with him and with the joint that he had to. The second issue, Chair, was what the CEO touched on. I want to just raise a few points for emphasis on the qualification report. I think the first point is that, Honorable Father, your point is noted. And indeed, we can do more to try and use young attorneys, especially young attorneys who are trying to make it in a very tough environment. We have been using some new up and coming law firms, but we can do more, and I think we will do more in this regard. Having used these two funds for this exercise, the second point to emphasize was that they provided the legal expert on matters of qualification as with any other law firm. And so the point we acknowledged was that as the NYGA, we are not a qualification authority. We don't have expertise on the matter. So we place our trust in the authorities on qualification to tell us what would be the best form of sanction for each of any of those employees who are found guilty of any kind of misconduct. And so those authorities recommended all the sanctions that you see presented to you in the presentation. None of those sanctions were NYGA imposing sanctions. In fact, the NYGA had no basis to go against the recommendations of the law firm. And that's why we implemented the sanctions as proposed. Chair, to illustrate this point, I think the CEO mentioned that one employee, Honorable Judge, he was granted in 2002. And the case was that he did not use his misrepresentation to obtain a job because he was headhunted in the USA and asked to come back home in 2002 to work for the Interbom Police Fund by the CEO at the time. So when he put the case forward to the legal experts, they then indicated to us that you cannot dismiss someone who did not use his misrepresentation to obtain a job. If he was headhunted and you can prove that he was headhunted, as was this case, you have to give him an appropriate sanction. And the appropriate sanction was final warning to continue. And in that case, in fact, you have also proof that he had the credit for his diploma, was continuing with his master's studies, and would then be able to produce that master's degree within a set period of time. So this is what accounts for some of the sanctions that you see where some have imposed a final warning and then complete your degree. The last two issues, Chair, were the second chance matric rewrite program. Chairperson, on this program, we had initiated and piloted the NYGA as an opportunity for young people who have failed. Every year, approximately 150,000 young people fail in the trip. I think last year, about 167,000 or more. So we always emphasize those who pass, we never emphasize those who fail, but what to do for them. And we have piloted it to see what model works as our responsibility at the NYGA, together with ETGPC. And for the last two or three years, over 60% of those enrolled in this program obtained their matric. They are reintegrated back into the education system. The long-term objective is quite correct what the member said. Was always to hand this program either to basic education or to government. And we were then asked that in terms of this employment accord, we should hand the model to Minister Patel and Nedlac to consider it. But we were then asked to cost it. How much would it cost afford this opportunity to every one of those young people who fail in the school. We posted it came out to 300 million rand, at the current model, which we thought was value for money simply because the pass rate is high. We could do that, but we have to reduce the pass rate. Last pass rate, all of the pass rates in the last 2 years have been about 60%. So with the kind of support they are getting, with the value for money, which we felt it was value for money, we have sent it through to NEDLAG for consideration, and that is the objective, because we want to pilot other programs. We want to look at other opportunities for young people. So with that in the pipeline chair, we hope that that will be considered by NEDLAG, and that we will then stop doing the second chance to take that program at the NYCP. But just my last point here would be on the salary bill. I think that the CFO had touched on it. So for us, the concern is not the status quo, because we are very confident that whatever percentage you look at now, the fact of the matter is that on the presentation states that we will reduce that by 13% with the new structure. If we reduce that by 13%, next time we report to the portfolio committee in the next financial year, we will definitely see a reduction, a significant reduction in salary. That's a given. So whatever the status quo is now, that's not really our concern is really to get the buy-in and input from members, say, look at reworking the structure. But currently, I think I just got a page, but this slide 48 suggests that we will reduce it by 13%. And I think that's the point we want to emphasize, Chair, as I put our responses from the NYC. Sorry, Chair, with the all the questions on the youth policy, Chair, we'd perhaps suggest that they be referred to the Deputy Minister to whom we report. For the reason that we've not been leading that process, because policy matters don't fall within our mandate. And since the policy matters have been attended to by the Deputy Minister, we would prefer that the question be deferred to our principal.
Oh, no, I'm not sure.
some of you must be willing to compromise and be elsewhere. Okay, all right. On that note, Minas, tomorrow is starting at 9. Because, yeah, it's 9. Because there's also a Korean group at 2, Thursday. Yeah, so I think we all want to attend that.
Chair, we are fighting at a caucus at 9:30, so I'm certainly not going to be here. I don't know whether my colleagues will be.
You're not going to be here. I'll
tell you about that. It usually lasts 9:30.
No, but
12.
I'm not changing the program.
Good thing is this. It's your thing, man. It's your thing.
I don't come to the table.